Welcome to the Orthodontics in Summary podcast, where Farouk brings you the key points and understanding of orthodontic webinars, conferences, and papers in a concise podcast with your host, Farouk Ahmed.
Welcome to this episode of Orthodontics in Summary, our final episode for the 2023 year. This episode is looking at TADS and the gap between science and clinical practice. It was an excellent lecture given at this year's British Orthodontic Conference by Sebastian Bermgartel as the illustrious Norcroft lecture. Just to recap, the podcast is the opinion piece of myself and the Orthodontics in Summary team. It may not be 100% representative of the original lecture, though we try our best to ensure that it is. Now getting back to the lecture. So Sebastian spoke about three key aspects when it comes to TADS. He spoke about insertion torque, site selection, and root proximity. What I loved about this lecture is that he looked at both the science and also the clinical practice side of things. And there are gaps between both. He spoke about this temporal delay, clinical practice first, followed by science to support it or to dispute it down the line. So starting off by looking at torque, is there an ideal insertion torque for TADS? Well, yes, there is. This was Motoyoshi's study from 2006, and it was a great paper because it showed that high torque results in the greatest failure rates, and success rates are only 60%. But low torque isn't the solution either, at only having 72% success rates. And you've guessed it, it's actually that Goldilocks middle part which results in the ideal torque at 92%. And what's the understanding behind this? Well, Sebastian informed us that actually torque is a compression of the tissues. If we have low torque, low compression, we don't have that primary stability. We get early failure of the screw with the bone. However, if we insert a high torque, we get high compression, which is great for initial stability. However, we then undergo this resorption process. Remodeling takes place due to the greater torque, and consequently we have this resorption process occurring, and therefore we get loss in a secondary stability sense. The best is a medium torque, enough compression initially to achieve our primary stability, and not enough torque to result in this resorption process of remodeling bone. What are the rules? Well, we're really aiming for around the 10 centinewtons of torque to go in for TADS. Now, the research tends to be based around buccal TADS as well. So Sebastian then went into his clinical experience. It ranges, depending on the site, anywhere between 10 and 25 newton centimetres. He then went on to describe the ideal sites and zones for positioning TADS. Do we have the right place and the ideal place to do it? He described the variables. The first is a misnomer, as he mentioned it, the keratinized gingiva. There was no evidence to support it has to be within keratinized tissue. And actually, looking at the several studies which have compared keratinized to non-keratinized, there's no difference in the failure rates. What does make a difference, though, is a really insightful study from 2009, where they looked at the different areas in the non-keratinized tissue. And the conclusion from it was, the further towards the sulcus you go, the more mobility of the tissue, and that's what results in the failure. Sebastian has assimilated this information and come up with a zone of opportunity. Now, this is the ideal place to insert a TAD buccally, and it's 2 millimeters above the keratinized tissue, where the mobility of the tissues is significantly low. What's our target zones and sites? Where are we aiming to put the TADS? We really want to go for areas where there's no roots, it's a consistent cortical plate, which I'll come back to, and also areas that can tolerate different levels of torque. Where are these sites? Well, let's have a look at the bone. When it comes to the ideal bone thickness, it's around 1 to 1.5 millimeters, and that's the ideal cortical plate thickness to achieve the ideal torque and therefore have a stable TAD. CBCTs can be used clearly to give this information, but Sebastian mentioned this can be overkill, and simply knowing what the general anatomical composition is of patients and the position of the roots means we can start to choose these sites without a CBCT. What are the ideal sites? Well, in Sebastian's landmark study from 2009, he looked at the area around the first premolar region in the palate. He mentioned this as the ideal zone when it comes to consistent bone thickness, but more importantly, it's an area where different levels of torque can be tolerated. The technique sensitivity is less. Also, when it comes to the mid-palate, we want to avoid the mid-palatal suture by being at least 2 millimeters away. The mid-palatal suture itself is an inconsistent area when it comes to its bony thickness. So what's the evidence? Well, actually, if we look at Hoofer's study from 2017, if you go into the palate, it's a 98% success rate. However, buccally, it's around 71%. But that could be experts. I loved the study that Sebastian did in 2020. He looked at trainees, people still learning how to place brackets. How were their success rates? In a study, it showed trainees and residents performed at an 84% success rate for the anterior palate. So really, for those people getting into using TADS, this is really the safest area to go for to get high success rates. And you've got experts like Sebastian who had 100% success rates for 5 years, but it's incredible to hear. What about the proximity to adjacent roots? Does that influence TADS? Now, this was news to me. My opinion was, or my understanding, was that if you hit a root, it was bad. If you didn't hit a root, it was good. But it's not as simple as that. A number of studies now have shown the proximity to the root, Chen 2008, the greater the chance of having failure take place. So how do we understand this? Well, Sebastian mentioned the proximity to the PDL and the roots results in an increase in bone turnover and stress in those regions. Therefore, the greater turnover, the greater likelihood of having this remodeling resorption taking place off the bone itself. Now, science doesn't give us a clear answer as to what the distance needs to be. Sebastian suggested around 4 millimeters from the interradicular distance, depending on the size of the TAD that's used. But around a 1 millimeter clearance was the key information that he gave between the TAD and the adjacent tooth. Now, most buccal sites anatomically do not have this 4 millimeter clearance. So if we're going to use buccal sites, we've got to start thinking about diverging roots if we're going to use them. There was a question that was asked that I haven't heard anybody ask before about what are the success rates once a TAD fails, i.e. a secondary insertion success rates. He looked at a number of studies, and actually for buccal TADs, when we reinsert them, the failure rates are much higher. We're looking at a reduction in 33 to 36% according to Osengi's study. However, there is one site in the mouth where the secondary insertion rates increase beyond our primary ones, and this is the anterior palate. They increase by 4% from 84% up to 88%. And I think that's really insightful to know that when we fail with our TADs, there is a site to go for to increase that success, and that is the anterior palate. The final concluding marks from Sebastian was to change our thinking when it comes to the positioning of TADS. We shouldn't go for indication-driven sites, which help us out just purely with our tooth movement. We should be looking at anatomically-driven sites and piecing our mechanics together from it. It was an excellent lecture given by an expert within the field of both academic and clinical practice for TADS, and a great way to round off 2023. I wish you guys all the best for the holiday season. I will see you guys in 2024. We will have more from you from the Orthodontics in Summary team.